choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
There was a slavery. There was like 6 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Some of them from conquered nations, some of them from, just remember we've taught you, being in debt. People that were in debt, they didn't repossess your car or your house, they repossessed your kids and made them servants until the debt was paid. And you couldn't volunteer for it, no. Please, repossess my kid. You couldn't volunteer for it. But if you were in debt, they would come and your children would be in servitude until the debt was paid. And that was called a bond slave. And Onesimus had escaped from slavery from his master. He lived in Colossae, the city of Colossae. He escaped from his master and ran away. He stole some money from him and then ran away to Rome, where through some divine appointment that God had planned for his life, he ended up in the presence of Paul, the apostle, who was in jail at the time. In jail at the time for him was a house where you had a guard. There wasn't actually a jail cell. There was a small house, and a Roman guard would be there 24 hours a day watching you, making sure you didn't escape the house. And you had to pay the rent on the house, and you had to buy your own food. And you couldn't go out and work, so it was a tough thing. You had to get people to come and bring stuff to you in order to survive. If you couldn't pay your rent or if you couldn't buy your own food, you'd eventually die in there, and then they wouldn't have to guard you anymore. He ended up in the presence of Paul, and the Apostle Paul led him to Christ, and he became a brother in the Lord. And Paul found out who he was originally the slave of, and it was a fellow named Philemon. And Philemon was a friend of Paul. Paul had spent time in Colossae. He had spent time teaching, and Philemon was a friend of his, and so he was going to send Onesimus back to him. With, number one, the book of Colossae that you have in your Bible, the epistle to the Colossians. He was going to carry that back to Colossae. And then also he was going to take this particular personal letter to Philemon with him as well. Now, Onesimus traveled with a group. He didn't travel alone. Nobody traveled alone back then. It was dangerous to be on the road by yourself. You can ask the guy in the story of the Good Samaritan. You don't travel alone, you get beat up and robbed, and who knows, even killed. So they always traveled in groups when they traveled, and in order to be protected, watch each other's back, and so forth. But so he was sending him back, and he sent this personal letter with him, and he was explaining to Philemon in verse 16, he said that Onesimus is no longer a slave. He's more than a slave. He's a beloved brother now, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Then verse 17, Paul says to Philemon, but if you count me as a partner, if you and I are partners in the ministry, then receive him as you would receive me. He's a runaway slave. He robbed you. He wronged you. And so forth. He hasn't paid his complete debt to you yet. But I want you to treat him as if he was me, with respect, with honor, and not punish him. When he left you, he was not a Christian. He was unsaved, but now he's been born again. Now he's a brother, and I want you to forgive him and receive him as you would receive me. And then he says, and if he has wronged you, if he owes you anything, in verse 18, then put it on my account. And put it on my account is the root word for where we get the word for imputation. It's a Greek word, logizomai. You want me to spell that? Logizomai. And that word is, I will spell it for you, L-O-G-I-D-Z-O-M-A-I. L-O-G-I-D-Z-O-M-A-I. It's a Greek word, logizomai, and it means to put it on my account, to charge it to another account, to put it on. And that is the illustration for imputation. Paul said, impute it to me. Whatever he owes you, whatever debt he owes you, whatever how much it is, impute it to me. Put it on my account. I'll take care of it. I'll pay for it, and so forth. So that's the beginning of this. And then the Greek word, as we said, is logizomai. It's not only found here, but it's also found in 39 other places in the New Testament. The word logizomai or impute, sometimes translated, many times translated as impute. And there are three important imputations that as we come up on Good Friday, there are three very important imputations that we need to learn in the Bible. If you know these, you're way ahead of the class. If you know about imputations and Christianity, it is more to you than just a bunch of rules that people follow or don't follow, then you realize just how much Christ means to us. The first imputation we discover in the Bible is that God imputed to us what actually will one day belong to us sooner or later, and that's sin. He put it on our account that we were sinners, and he did it before you were born. Before you were born, before you were conceived in the womb. Before any of that happened, before mom and dad even talked about having you, you were charged with being a sinner. Before you could pop your little head out of the womb and go and commit a sin, you were charged with being a sinner. God said you're a sinner before you were even born. And then that is an imputation. He put it on your account. You didn't do it. You didn't do anything. You weren't even born yet. He put it on your account. He said, that's not fair. You'll see how fair it can be. He put it on your account. Through his foreknowledge, of course, God knows that you were to be born. Then he also knows that you would have a sin nature inherited from Adam. And he also knows that you would be isolated from him in your early years of life until you turned to the Lord and became born again. You would be isolated from him. So he knows you were going to have to go through life for a period of time without him being close to you. You have an old sin nature. You're isolated from God. He knows that you could not help it. It's in your nature, but to sin repeatedly once you got onto the earth. And that's Psalm 58:3 says that you would be a sinner perpetually once you became a person. And because everything, you know, what is sin? Sin is anything outside of God's will. That pretty much covers a big area. Anything that's not God's will is sin. And so God knew that that would take place. And so before you were even born, he imputed it to you. He said, you are a sinner, and you're going to be born in this world. You didn't hear it because you didn't have ears yet. But you are a sinner, and you're going to be born, and then you're going to have a sin nature, and then you're going to go about sinning in life. So sin is going to be all about you. But you are a sinner. And this is really the genius of God, as you'll see, to do it this way. He condemned us all before we were even born. We're all condemned because of sin the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, in Ezekiel 18 and in verse 8. We were already condemned completely before we were even born. And before we could even commit a sin. You can read that in Isaiah 51, 5, 58, 3. I'm sorry, Psalm 58, 3. Job 14, 4. And that's why Jesus could say in John 3, 18 that the whole world is condemned. Everybody. John 3, 18, the whole world is condemned. And Paul tried to explain it and did a good job at it. In Romans 5:12, he says, just as though through one man sin entered the world. Who's the one man? Adam. Adam was the first guy who failed in sin. And from that point, man is a fallen man. Through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin. The wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. And that death spread upon all men because all men are sinners. And they're sinners before they're even born. Romans 5:19, the first part of that verse says this, by one man, speaking of Adam again, all of us, without exception, all of us were made to be sinners before God. By one man, Adam, all of us, no exceptions, not even the monk, not even Gandhi, not even, who else is holy? Andy, not even nobody. All of us were made to be sinners. We're all declared, sin was imputed to us first. Then we had a sin nature, and then we committed sins. But first it was imputed to us before we ever sinned. Then secondly, and this is the second imputation that's very important, first imputation is God imputed sin to me and I was a sinner before I was even born. And then I proved him right after that. The second imputation that's very, very important to understand is that the sins of the whole world, everybody's sins from the beginning of time to now, which is we got 7 billion people now, so how many, maybe 10 billion people, 11 billion people, is 12 have been in the world since the beginning. All of their sins from the past, present, future, every single sin was imputed to Jesus Christ, a man who never sinned. One man in life who never sinned, who wasn't declared a sinner before he was born, nor did he have a sin nature, and that was the reason for the virgin birth. To get him to become a, he was to become a man, but he was to be born outside of Adam's family line. He was outside of Adam's family tree because he was born from a virgin and it was God himself who provided the genetics and the chromosomes in order for that to happen, supernaturally. Jesus could not be declared a sinner before he was born. Not an exception. Therefore, he not only was not a sinner before he was born, he did not have a sin.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Attention homeowners, do you feel frustrated about not being able to sell your home? Are you worried because you're about to be transferred, or have you recently been laid off?